concerns now that war could engulf the region as a result. But CBS's Ian Lee in Tel Aviv says the assassination may not necessarily draw Lebanon into conflict with Israel.
And ever since October 7th, we have seen this cross-border fighting. Israel has been striking Hezbollah militants, killing them. Hezbollah has been firing rockets and missiles into Israel, killing people. But neither side at the moment seems like they want to escalate it to a second front.
Even now, days after a powerful earthquake rocked Japan, some areas are still inaccessible, says CBS's Lucy Kraft.
With land access into remote areas of the Noto Peninsula still largely impassable, officials can't get a full grasp of the damage. Rainfall and mudslides pose an additional threat to an area still sustaining aftershocks.
Minor quakes in Maryland and New York City shook people in their beds Monday night. A 2.3 magnitude quake was felt in Rockville, Maryland, and Tuesday morning a 1.7 magnitude quake hit parts of New York City. It's a failure to get vaccinated. The CDC says more than half of the country is experiencing a rise in the number of COVID, flu, and RSV cases. CBS's Meg Oliver reports.
Nationwide, emergency room visits and deaths are up from the previous week. And it's not just COVID cases that are climbing. 31 states are reporting high or very high levels of respiratory illnesses, including flu and RSV.
A sharp drop in illegal crossings at the southern border has the Border Patrol reopening a remote crossing in Lukeville, Arizona, and three other locations. A three-judge federal appeals court panel has ruled unanimously that emergency rooms in Texas do not have to provide life-saving abortions. More on that from reporter Chris Fox in Austin.
Texas filed suit arguing the guidance was a nationwide mandate that every hospital and emergency room physician perform abortions. The Fifth Circuit agreeing, ruling that the federal law does not mandate medical treatments, let alone abortion care, nor does it preempt Texas law.
One organization says it's experiencing a run on abortion pills, says CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
Telehealth group Aid Access reports it received an average of 25 requests a day before the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. After that, it soared to about 118.
If you've been on the Brooklyn Bridge recently, you've been forced to weave past dozens of souvenir sellers. The city has now said enough and has now barred the vendors, who themselves admit the bridge is overcrowded, but they say forcing all of them off the iconic span is a bridge too far. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that election clerks can accept absentee ballots that are missing part of a witness's address. The judge ruled that so long as the clerks can discern how to reach the witness from available information, those ballots are acceptable. In 2022, a Waukesha County judge ruled that clerks are no longer allowed to fill in missing witness information. Tuesday's ruling provides uniform rules for how clerks should handle those absentee ballots, says the group that brought the lawsuit. After three consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers make a roster move. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After beating the Vikings on Sunday Night Football 33-10, the Packers have placed second-year wide receiver Samori Toure on IR and promoted Bo Melton to the 53-man roster. Melton had six catches for 105 yards against Minnesota, the first Packers receiver to have a game with 100 yards or more in receptions this season. I asked him after the game if he was able to find those open spots against the Vikings' zone defense.
Yeah, you know, I was finding windows. You know, a lot of our receivers were finding windows as well. They have a great defense, so we're just trying to go into certain defenses and try to exploit that.
College football, the Badgers fought but fell short against number 13th ranked LSU. The final in the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa, 35-31 in favor of the Tigers. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
It doesn't just happen because you say it's going to happen, right? You go into place, you say, well, we're going to tackle better, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the reality is it's a lot of hot air.
That's Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Flurries, a little light freezing drizzle in the overnight, upper 20s with cloudy skies and light west winds. Flurry chances will continue into Wednesday. Mostly cloudy skies in the late afternoon will reach the lower 30s. More sunshine on Thursday. It's 30 at our studios.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The morning show on WFHR, it's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine,
Wisconsin Rapids used to be two towns, one on each side of the river. Centralia consolidated with Grand Rapids, but residents wanted a name change. Too much mail ended up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, not Wisconsin. Wisconsin Rapids became the official city name in 1920. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes.
And so it goes.
And so it goes.
And so it goes.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So glad to have you along with us. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And I'm really excited to talk to our next guest. I saw this article in the Wisconsin State Journal. John Martin is a professor at UW-Madison. He is a professor in atmospheric and oceanic sciences. Good morning, Professor Martin. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. I'm great. How are you?
I guess I'm a little concerned about this article in, again, the Wisconsin State Journal. It says climate change has pushed Madison into a new zone on the USDA's plant hardiness map. And obviously, this is something that has been occurring over the last several decades. How worried should we be about this, Professor Martin?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think this is just yet another sign of the fact that there's a very gradual but persistent and systematic change that's ongoing in the world's climate. And that is affecting all kinds of different things. And now we see rather dramatically that plant hardiness is affected in a fairly dramatic way. We are substantially warmer in this current time than we were 30 years ago. And that warmness means that the wintertime is not as extreme. And that has, you know, ramifications for agriculture that are not negative per se. But the background warming is something that is going to start to affect lots of other things, both meteorologically, climatologically, and ecologically. And so, yeah, there's some concern there. We can't tell what all of the ramifications are going to be, but you don't like to go around poking hornets' nests knowing that there's something inside that doesn't like you very much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've noticed this myself just over the last couple of winters. If I wouldn't take out like my snapdragons and they seeded, they would actually come up in spring. That's not supposed to happen. Snapdragons are not perennials. They're annuals, and they're not native to, and I live in Milwaukee, which granted, it may be a different zone than Madison, but still, it's like this, while great, and I love to see things reseed themselves, this is not a good thing necessarily.
No, it gets in the way of your plans. I mean, if you're a meticulous gardener, you expect certain behaviors from your plants, and you know, if they're annuals, you don't have to worry about them in the next year. You want to start again, or you want to replant or do something else, redesign your garden. And if you can't count on that, which you've counted on for your entire life, it starts to become a fairly substantial problem, and one that over which we have little or no control.
Well, and for farm, what does this do for Wisconsin's farmers, Professor Martin?
I think it might extend the growing season, might compel some of the agricultural interests to start a little earlier than they would otherwise, and then not yet plan, but actually in reality start having harvests come in later than normal, or maybe get a second crop of various kinds of agricultural products in a season here in Wisconsin when it used to be prohibited. So it's going to take some adjustment. I suspect, since there's a commercial aspect to it, that that the farming industry will figure out how to best implement, how to best deal with the new circumstances. But for a period of time, there'll be an adjustment that won't be comfortable and may well cause people to take risks that they probably shouldn't, or to hedge when they probably shouldn't. So it's going to be confusing.
If you're just joining us, John Martin is a professor in atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison, and we're talking about how over the last few decades the hardiness zones have changed here in Wisconsin and all across the country. I'm just wondering too, Professor Martin, I mean, there are some crops in particular that absolutely have to have a certain amount of cold, correct?
I think that's right. I mean, I'm not an expert in botany or anything related to it, but I know that that's correct. And then also, just thinking about it from the broad farming standpoint here in our own state, we used to be able to count on a pretty decent snow cover during the wintertime. And that not only protects the ground from deep freezing all the way to the, you know, to really depths that you have to wait too long in the spring, but it also helps the soil to retain moisture. So if the soil's bare and uncovered by snow all winter long, there's still a lot of evaporation going on through the soil and sublimation, getting that ice out of there. And so you begin the new growing season at a deficit of water, not just groundwater, but soil moisture. And so those are really substantial issues, and they're incrementally getting worse. And, you know, when the hardiness zones change, that's the implication is that there's something else about the climate that's changing. We're about 3 or 4 degrees warmer now than we, on average, degrees Fahrenheit, than we were, you know, sort of in 1990, 2000. And persistently over the 90 days of winter from December 1 through February 28, that integrates to something rather substantial in terms of snow cover and the ability for the soil to retain moisture. So it's there's lots of implications to these slow creeps in one direction. And people with a fairly dismissive attitude about a small temperature change are not thinking the problem all the way through.
I absolutely agree with you. It's, you know, there's always those folks who are like, yay, we had a mild winter. Wasn't that great? And I didn't have to shovel. And yes, that's all well and good. But as you said, we need a certain amount of snowfall for moisture purposes in spring.
Or even, as I said earlier, people who will use that same argument as a way to push legislation or just push narrative that, oh, climate change isn't that bad. It's only a degree or two. And people in power say those types of things from their podiums and their, you know, their positions of power, and people believe them.
Right. Yeah, our own Senator Johnson's made some ridiculous statements regarding that, in the notion that, hey, this might make Wisconsin warmer in the winter. Isn't
right.
that a good thing?
Right.
You know, it's absurdly stupid to not game the whole thing out and to think about all of the ramifications. And this is one of them we're talking about right now. How does it affect the growing season in the subsequent season? There's really big implications for a milder winter. And to act as if there's no problem at all, and it's actually a benefit that we've manufactured by our, you know, inattentiveness to the way we're changing our environment, is really foolish.
Well,
it doesn't deserve to be rewarded by a term in the Senate, if you ask me.
Well, and
amen.
Absolutely. And again, it's not even inattentiveness, I don't think. We've known about this, and certainly climate scientists have known about this for a long time. It was more ignoring the issue because we don't want to have to address the causes of this, because there might be some industries that will lose money.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And you know, you're exactly right, Jane. It's the willful ignorance part of it. Knowing better, but deciding to just blow it off anyway, which is, you know, absolutely the last thing public servants ought to be engaged in. And certainly it's frustrating for those of us who sit by and do our work every day, whatever it is we do. In my case, I learned something about how this system works. And to hear people in positions of power just dismiss the importance of that understanding is very frustrating.
Well, and
I can't imagine how infuriating that must be for you and your colleagues.
Well, and we mentioned this last hour, Professor Martin, about, you know, we'll always get one politician who will bring a snowball into the chambers and hold up the snowball and say, well, here's proof that there's no climate change because I have a snowball. And it's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. In fact, that week when Senator, I forget his name now, from Oklahoma, brought the snowball into Washington, D.C., that was the same week that Tammy Baldwin's office had somehow gotten a hand on a paper that I'd written, a scientific paper about how the cold pool in the wintertime over the whole northern hemisphere is systematically shrinking. So it's a clear signal that the globe is warming up. And then there's Senator Inhofe with a snowball on the floor of the Senate. But it's stunting. It's not governing.
Yeah. And, you know, and another thing we talked about earlier was the fact that, and, you know, I say this as a person who does recycle, who does try to make sure I do what I can to help take care of the earth. But for the longest time, they were really saying, well, you've got to do these things, the people. You've got to separate your recyclables and everything. And now we're finding out that it's really these huge companies that really needed to do the work years ago. And now it's almost, so I guess the question I have for you is, as individual citizens, what, or if anything, can we do besides like contacting our local politicians, our elected officials, saying you need to do something about this? I mean, is it really at this point out of our hands individually to do something about it?
It's discouraging to consider the prospect. But I have a firm belief, and it goes beyond just the science and the social behavior aspects. I have a firm belief that if you know something is right and you have a choice to do either the right thing or the wrong thing, if you consistently try and then most times succeed to do the right thing, that does make the world a better place. And if everybody's thinking that way, it changes an entire ethic about how we ought to approach each other and our responsibilities to each other, given our privileges. So I'm in a privileged position here. I get to talk to young people about science. I don't shy away from suggesting to them that what they're learning about science might make them better citizens as well, and especially in regard to these issues. And I think that's okay for me to do that. I think it's actually an obligation for me to do that. It's part of the Wisconsin idea to do that. And so that's one thing I feel I can do myself. But when I'm walking down the hall of my house, I turn the lights off if I don't need them on. Those are all things we can do, and they're little things. But I think the important thing about those actions may not be their physical implications on the climate system or on our economy, but they develop within all of us a habit to be critical of overconsumption, to be thoughtful and mindful about what we're doing every step of the way. And I think those things matter. And I think especially if you carry those ethics into a situation where you run across a person in power who says those are a waste of time. They laugh at you and they say, why are you doing that? I think you can say, I don't think I want you representing me anymore.
That speaks to their person. That speaks to their, the way they live their life and treat other people when they approach these types of topics with such disregard.
I think that's right.
And as you kind of inferred too, Professor Martin, it is about getting individuals, we're all individuals. That's great. Let's all celebrate our individuality. But again, we are collectively part of this planet. It's about all of us. We need to get back to some of the do this for the greater good, not just because I want to take a 90-minute shower. Well, you know, okay.
And some people, too, it's like some of these politicians, and now we're getting into the political, which is fine by me. You talk about these politicians who are making it their end game to protect the children at all costs from everything, anywhere. And these are the same people who are like, I have no interest in saving the earth. It's like as if they don't care about their children and their children's children. There's so much hypocrisy. They should be the first ones to say, we need to do something about this.
Yeah, very true.
It has been delightful talking to you. John Martin is a professor in atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison. Really appreciate your time this morning, Professor Martin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jane. It's been a pleasure.
Stay with us when we come back. Remembering Norman Lear and Time's Person of the Year. That's coming up on As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough, just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So nice to have you along. Jane Matmere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in the studio, and Calvin is on the board. You can always check in with us at 844-967-2789. You can call and or text or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We have a show poll.
We do. Right now.
About tipping.
About tipping. So if you go to Asgos, Wisconsin on to, oh, actually, nope. Poll is closed.
Poll is closed.
Close, the poll is officially closed. We'll be talking about that more in a little bit.
Yes, starting at 11:33, tipping fatigue.
And that is just a way of saying, also, folks, go and check out social media, Asgos, Wisconsin. We post in the morning. We post about our lineup. We're going to be talking about all the social medias are Asgos, Wisconsin. Yep. And essentially, we try to do a weekly poll, gauge your ideas and thoughts. And we got some feedback on our, what you talked about with, what'd you call it? Tipping fatigue?
Tipping fatigue.
Is that an official title, or is that something you just made up when you went to a Chili's?
I think it's an unofficial title.
Okay. All right.
Tipping fatigue. So we're going to talk about that coming up at 11:33. Right now, though, the word of the year, words of the year, because it depends upon which source you use.
Now, I just have a question. Are the words of the year going to make you upset? Because if that's the case, that's welcome to another edition of Things That Make Jane Upset. For no reason.
Things that make Jane cranky. It's a long list. Merriam-Webster word of the year for 2023
is
authentic.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
It is?
Yeah, why not?
Authentic.
What's your problem with it?
It's not unique.
No, it's authentic, though.
It's... Merriam-Webster.
What did you want?
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the word of the year, but
then
I guess
you don't get to have like a deep opinion about it.
I would have thought it would have been something just a little more unusual, not something that's been
not authentic.
That has been in our jargon for a long, long time. Merriam-Webster said it saw a substantial increase in online searches this year for authentic, driven by stories and conversations about artificial intelligence, celebrity culture, identity, and social media. One reason people search for the word authentic, it includes a number of meanings, including not false or imitation, and true to one's own personality, spirit, or character.
See, that's where I thought we would brought you to the half full side of the spectrum of this glass. Is that people being authentic and true to themselves, something I know you appreciate.
I do.
You always want to be. So to me, the word authentic being a word, like a great, very popular word, make you excited.
I'm fine with it.
All right, folks, you heard it here first on Asgos, Wisconsin. Jane's fine with something.
Okay, now this one I am not so fine with.
I don't even know what it is.
Oxford University Press.
Give it to us.
Has come out with their word of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And it is... Riz.
Yeah.
R-I-Z-Z.
Do you know anything about that word?
Nothing. Okay. Calvin, our resident young person. Calvin, what does Riz mean?
Wait, let me ask you something, Calvin, before you answer that question. He'll answer your question by answering my question. Calvin, does Jane have Riz?
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
What, do I have a disease? What?
No.
What is
Riz is like charisma, I guess, like your ability to talk game in quotations, like pick up people for dates, like that kind of thing.
So it's very specific to dating culture.
It started that way, but now it's kind of just become slang for just cool and smooth talking.
Thus, Oxford makes it the word of the year because you got Riz, Jane.
So it's just a shortened version of charisma.
Yeah. And I also believe that Calvin paid you a compliment.
Thank you, Calvin.
There we go.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Sure. Yes, I do. Okay, yes. If he meant it authentically.
Of course he meant it authentically. See what you did there.
Is Riz something, Calvin, that you and your friends use frequently?
No, it's not. And I don't think anyone really does. I think it's more of like a meme, like internet culture word. Where like it's like a joke, like, oh yeah, you got Riz type of thing. And it's not even something people often say out loud. It's just typed more often than it's said.
Riz topped Swifty. It also beat out situationship.
That's not a word.
A situationship, an informal romantic or sexual relationship.
No, it makes more sense.
And Riz also beat out prompt. Not being on time, but the instructions given to an artificial intelligence program. As in, giving it a prompt.
Very interesting things. Very interesting. I'm just hearing Riz as like what you were saying. It's like, I'm sorry, Miss Matinair, you have terminal Riz. And there's no going back.
There's no cure for it.
There's no cure for Riz. So go out in the world and just Riz it up.
You can't do anything about it.
Be authentic.
It's just be authentically Riz.
I honestly, you know what? I love it because you know, they aren't. Well, I use the word authentic because it's a word, but like Riz, I don't use that word, but I love it. You know, who cares?
Oxford University Press says Riz speaks to how younger generations create spaces online or in person where they own and define the language they use. From activism to dating and wider cultures, Gen Z has more impact on society, differences in perspectives and lifestyle, which play out in language as well.
Two follow-ups to that statement from Oxford. One, don't get too comfy, Gen Z, on this one. They were telling my generation the same thing. They told millennials the same thing. They say to every generation who's young and hip. And second, a word like Riz, just what Calvin said, it's a word that started in the lexicon of young people, and now corporations, social media platforms, and influencers have co-opted it, and they have essentially killed the word.
I was going to say, Calvin, right? Once corporate takes it over, it's no longer cool, and now you got to find it. Now that it's the word of the year, you're going to have to find a different word.
What a sellout.
I don't even know if it was ever cool, to be honest. It was always kind of like a tongue-in-cheek thing, almost. At least that's how I have always saw it presented.
I think we need to have Calvin do more young person interpretations for us, or like...
Well, he's our translator.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, He's by far my favorite resident young person we've ever had. I mean, for a while, Kristen was the resident young person.
She was.
And now Calvin's come along and just filled those Crocs up.
He doesn't wear Crocs.
I do.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Coming up, tipping fatigue. Do you have tipping fatigue? Do you think it's too much? Do you feel pressured? Do you feel guilt? If you don't... If you're going through a drive-thru, it seems like everywhere you go nowadays, you are expected to tip. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We will kick that around when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
CBS News Brief. The Border Patrol is reopening some border crossings because of a decline in the number of migrants entering the U.S. from Mexico. From Austin, reporter Chris Fox.
On Thursday, U.S. Customs and Border Protection will resume commercial and legal travel at official crossings along the U.S.-Mexico border in Eagle Pass, Texas, Nogales, and Lukeville, Arizona, and a pedestrian bridge in San Diego.
A big meat producer is recalling thousands of pounds of raw beef, says CBS's Matt Piper.
It's due to possible E. coli contamination. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, Food Safety and Inspection Service says the products, mostly in the form of patties, were distributed to restaurants and other places.
The beef was shipped to distributors in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Michigan. The president of Harvard, Claudine Gay, is resigning. She was forced out by plagiarism charges and controversial congressional testimony. This Harvard student says he agrees with Gay's decision.
She said in her statement that she thought it was ultimately the right thing for the university to move forward, and I think that's probably right.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally Grown Radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The names of six Republicans and one Democrat will appear on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballots for now. That list includes Donald Trump and President Biden. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee met Tuesday morning. Candidates who want to be taken off the list have until the 30th to say so. Candidates who want to be added will have to collect signatures to qualify. Wisconsin's primary is April 2nd. New higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increase last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. When combined with the state's 5% sales tax, consumers in Milwaukee are paying a 7.9% sales tax, and in the rest of Milwaukee County, it's 5.9%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Almaus Show.
Peter Rapine joins us once again.
City Bums World, we had our holiday party last night.
You scheduled this holiday party for your company just thinking it was a cool little bar.
Yeah, so we find that we're in the middle of a singles mixer. Some guy stops me, hands me a card with someone's name on it and a phone number, which was flattering. And then he also handed me a joint, and I accepted both.
The Todd Almaus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Flurries, a little light freezing drizzle in the overnight, upper 20s with cloudy skies and light west winds. Flurry chances will continue into Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies in the late afternoon will reach the lower 30s. More sunshine on Thursday. It's 30 at our studios.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Happy holidays from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Let me
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party!
Or if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. We were just talking with Lindsay Bloomer, who is with WRTP, Big Step in Wisconsin, and apprenticeship programs, mm-hmm. and the success of Wisconsin's apprenticeship program right now with over 16,000 enrollees. And one of our texters, I love this so much, sent me a suggestion for my next vacation. It's called the Diggin' Zone. It's a theme park where you can drive things.
Where is this located?
It's in Tennessee.
Well, you know, vacation next year, I guess.
Diggin' Zone. Oh, gosh. It just gave me chills. I think that would be so much fun. I have a feeling it is slightly more geared towards children.
Hey, you're a child at heart.
Yeah. That was some, yes. Like, okay.
I'm going to buy you some baby perfume.
We're going to switch gears a little bit. And I would love to hear from you on this at 844-967-2789. Oprah, amazingly, and I kind of lost track of this, that Oprah still comes out with her favorite things list.
Really?
Yep. Even though she hasn't, I mean, her show has been off the air for how long now?
For a long time. She still has her magazine she's on the cover of every month.
Right. So she's still coming out with her favorite things. This used to be the big hoopla when everyone in the audience would get every single thing on her list. It was a huge deal.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I mean, Ellen did stuff like that, too. And
Ellen started following that kind of path. But some of the items on here, at least they're not outrageously expensive. Not all of them are outrageously expensive, because sometimes she would get a little OTT, I thought. You know, Oprah has more money than God. Just because you can buy that doesn't necessarily mean the rest of us can afford to buy it. But among the items on this year's Oprah favorite things is a travel mug, the Corkical mug with a slip-proof lid and easy grip sides for $29.95.
Corkable?
Corkical.
That's not a word. That's a new word.
A Land's End quilted Permaloft winter coat, which makes me look like an Oompa Loompa. That's $131.
Yeah.
There's a throw. Keep warm this season with a cozy yet chic throw from Oprah's list. It's $110. But now here's where my question comes in.
It's just going to be in a continuation of, do you really need this?
Okay. Pajamas.
Yeah.
Do you wear pajamas? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Every year, for years, she has put pajamas on her favorite things list.
Yeah.
My husband and I don't have kids.
Yeah. That is Oprah.
That's true. I am not a pajama person. I don't pajama.
Okay. You don't pajama jammy jam?
I don't, no.
All right.
I wear a cotton shirt.
Okay. It's like, all right.
And that's how I roll.
Are these pajamas, these so-called pajamas in question, are they like the traditional, I'm going to get ready for bed, pull up the pants of the PJ pants, and then button down the front PJ top? Like those traditional...
Oh, no. You mean like the flap in the back?
No. That's a onesie.
Oh.
I'm talking about like just true traditional pajamas that have pajama bottoms and then a top that you button close and...
Yeah.
Stir your cocoa and you sit.
So she likes these that are $117. They're sustainable, responsibly sourced bamboo pajamas.
Cool.
Bamboo-based pajamas. And then there is a robe, which is another thing that I find completely superfluous.
Tell me more. I'm a robe guy.
Oh, all right. Calvin, do you pajama?
I do not pajama.
What are you sleeping?
Oh boy.
I sleep in a t-shirt and just whatever boxers I had on for the day.
And Greg Bach, do you pajama?
No, I do not.
You do not pajama.
We're leaving it at that.
Oh right. Fine.
No, I don't pajama. That's too much clothes. It's just it's
restrictive.
I move a lot. I toss and turn, so that just binds you up, and it's just not feasible.
I mean, obviously, if you have children at home, that's going to be a different situation.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
because we certainly wore pajamas as kids.
Yeah, because pajamas are fun. I mean, to this day, my niece is going to be 22 and my nephew is 18. Every year for Christmas, on Christmas Eve, they get new pajamas and they put them on and they love it because they're just fun pajamas. But I don't think you have to be a parent to wear pajamas. I mean, most parents I know sleep in a t-shirt and their underwear. They're not getting into the, like, you know,
the silky bottoms and the.
Yeah, well, that's for a birthday maybe. But like, they're not like the cleavers where it's like, all right, time to get ready for bed, mother.
There's a cozy robe, Barefoot Dreams cozy chic ribbed hooded robe. That's $124. Are you a robe guy?
So okay, first before we get into my robe proclivities, is that like a robe designed for women? Like the style, the fashion, or does it look like a unisex?
It could be unisex.
Okay, I'm just good. That makes me happy.
It is called a yummy feeling bathrobe and a guaranteed crowd pleaser. I think that these have a roomy fit and the ribbed material and hood up the cozy factor even more. So it's like double the cozy factor.
What psycho wrote the copy for that website?
It was Oprah. It was Oprah.
Okay, so
don't go offending the great and powerful. Oh,
I'll do what I want. I am a robe guy. I have the same robe I bought at a Sears Grand years ago. It is nice and fluffy. It is very comfortable. I love it. I'm not looking to replace it. It's perfect the way it is. And it cost me $10 on sale. Yeah. And I've had it for before I was married. So at least 12 years. But I think I have probably closer to 20 years.
And it doesn't have any holes in it?
No holes. I take care of it. I wash it.
Lovingly handling the robe.
Yeah. And I love it too. It's like, and it comes right down to the knees. So like, I'll go out and like get the mail and I'll be that guy in his robe and his Crocs. Just like, what's up everybody? I'm here to get my mail. You know, but I think everyone should have a robe. It's very, but a comfy robe. Not, I mean, you want to get a sexy robe, get a sexy robe, whatever. But I think you should just get a box standard, very comfy, very just utilitarian robe. It really is really nice. I think it's very comfy.
I don't find them warm enough because I'm always chilly.
Then you're getting the wrong robe, sister.
I'm just not getting a high quality enough fuzzy ultra comfy robe.
Yeah, you need like something that's got some lining in there too then. I think I know I'm getting you for Christmas.
844-967-2789. 844-96.
The robe party. Just party.
844-96-PARTY. Do you pajama? Are you a pajama person? Is this a tradition? Maybe. I know people, like you said, your niece and nephew get new pajamas every Christmas Eve. I know adults.
Yeah.
That is their ritual, I guess.
I actually have a pair of pajamas. I just realized this, right? I have a pair of Brewers pajamas. Ill-fitting. And when I say ill-fitting, if you see me, you're like, oh, they're too tight. No, they're too big. They're tall. They're the size plus tall. So like they go over my feet.
Oh and my goodness.
The shirt goes down to my knees. Oh my goodness. I look like a little boy wearing his dad's pajamas, but they're Brewer's pajamas. So I still wear it. And I pull the pants up to my chest.
Oh, good Lord. You can actually just leave the pants off and use it as a sleep shirt. Like
exactly.
Scrooge.
Exactly. Exactly.
Pat checking in from the 715. Last time I wore pajamas, they were Dukes of Hazzard's one with a General Lee on them. That was in the 80s. I can imagine the flag on the car's hood now would be a no-no.
Yes, yes.
LOL.
Yes, yes. It's a no-no.
Dukes of Hazzard PJs.
Did I? I think I had He-Man PJs. I know I had Spider-Man PJs. let's see here. We got another text from the 608 saying, during the school week, my three kids wear their clothes to bed for the next day because I don't have time to get them dressed in the morning. No pajamas. I'm convinced pajamas are for the upper class people. As a kid, I wore my dad's retired large t-shirt. No pajamas. Now I wear PJ pants plus sweatshirt to bed. Wow. Okay, and then from the 920, I PJ and robe.
Oh.
With exclamation points.
Oh.
Love them all. Keep my fluffy robe over clothes to keep warm. I want to go back to this last text, though.
Yeah. About the elites.
My three kids. I just want to say, I said this correctly. My three kids wear their clothes to bed for the next day because I don't have time to get them dressed in the morning.
So they're wearing school clothes?
They're wearing school clothes to bed, and then they wake up and they just like pop out of bed, put some shoes on, they're like off to the bus. Goodbye, mother. Thank you for my peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Interesting accent.
Thank you very much. It's I don't know where they're from. The East Coast, maybe? Yeah,
I find that unique.
I would like to know the kids' ages because maybe they can help each other get dressed. Because I just feel like wearing clothes that you're going to...
It's too restrictive.
After a while, it's going to be... I mean, and this, once again, no judgment, just curious.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Do you pajama? Do you robe? Texter says, matching coordinated pajamas on Christmas morning. Yes, but otherwise I get undressed when I crawl into bed and I get dressed when I get out of bed.
There you go. That's some confidence right there. I can't do that. Can't do that at all.
I just find it, like you said too, Greg, it's too restrictive and I am a flailer.
Yeah.
I flail at night. And so you got to watch out for the legs kicking and the arms swinging. And yeah, my husband wears a helmet to bed.
I just like this IPJ and robe.
Embrace it.
And yeah, live your
if
life.
That's your thing.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat, my friends. You know, I mean, like, you want a PJ, PJ. You want a not, you don't.
Trying to see what other things are on Oprah's favorite things list. We have the fluffy
is
coat.
Is Stedman on there?
You know, they're very happy together. Don't go picking on. Don't go
I'm not
after
picking
Stedman.
On Stedman. I just want her to appreciate Stedman.
You think she is not appreciative
I
of Stedman?
I don't know. Has he ever been on the list?
Well, she's another people can't get him.
True.
She's not going to put him on the list.
This is just from the same texture about the PJ and robe life. Just some smiley faces.
Another pair of pajamas. Stripe and stare lounge pant and sweatshirt set, which I guess are considered pajamas. Oprah said on her list this year, she owns 12 pairs in different colors at $128 a pop.
You know what, Oprah, you really need to take it down a peg. All right, seriously. We know you're rich. We know you're one of the richest, but 12 pair of the same, I mean...
In different colors.
Fair, I guess.
In different colors.
Which she probably got for free because she's endorsing them.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. And slippers.
Ooh, I'm getting into the slipper game this Christmas.
Slipper game?
Found out that you should always be wearing some kind of house shoe when you're walking around the house if you have like concrete floor or tile floor because the motion of your foot going down on concrete floor, or a hard wood floor too, that can have some lasting damage on your body, on your feet. So I'm going to ask for some house slippers. Wear those around, be comfy, and take care of my body.
Boy, you're going to be looking fine when you walk into the mailbox.
Here we go. We got a follow-up. This is from Liz with the three kids. They wear sweatpants and sweatshirts to school. Okay. So, all right. They are 8, 10, and 5. I feel like I've just opened up more questions.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you ever want to check in. Stay with us when we come back. Dolly Parton, there's nobody like this woman.
Absolutely not.
And she needs a prize just for being her. This is As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And you can always check in too at 844-967-2789. Shout outs to everyone listening in La Crosse on the Eagle, WLCX, and also in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR Homegrown Radio. We were talking about Oprah is out with her annual list of favorite things for the holidays. And she's got pajamas on there and slippers and a robe. And that got us kicking around. Do you pajama? I personally do not pajama. Calvin does not pajama. Greg, you also do not pajama. But you are pro-robe.
Pro-robe. I'm probe. Pro-robe.
You're probe.
Let me rephrase that.
And slippers.
Pro-robe. I'm pro-slippers, too, for health reasons, too. We got a couple more texts that came through. The young lady who is very pro-robe is also slippers all day. In fact, all my piano students bring slippers and wear them.
All right.
And then from the 608, my husband calls his robe a house coat. I like that.
That's hilarious.
I always tease him about it. Well, you know what? He lives his life and still journeys his journey in his beautiful house coat.
House coat is just such a 1950s term.
I know. I feel like you should be walking into a room with a big, big long back chair and be like, I'm going to read the latest Jane Eyre.
In my house coat.
There you are.
Texter from the 414 says, nightgowns only and a robe.
Wait, say it one more time.
Nightgowns only, not pajamas.
All right.
Nightgowns only and a robe.
Well, that free-flowing but still protected.
It's too restrictive. At least for me.
All right.
It's just my thing.
That's great. I'm here for it.
We're not judging.
We're not judging.
We're not judging.
Kind of judging.
Okay, maybe a little.
A scotch.
Whatever, go ahead. I wanted to talk about Dolly Parton.
We should always be talking about Dolly Parton.
For a number of reasons, including just because she's fabulous.
Yep.
And she was just performed at the Dallas Cowboys game.
In?
A Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit. She's 77 years old.
Yeah.
She looks amazing.
Yep.
I didn't look that good when I was in my 20s. And she just rocks it. It's incredible. But this just jumped out at me. Dolly does not tweet, and Dolly doesn't like to talk on the phone. Dolly only faxes. I don't want to talk to everybody that wants to talk to me. I don't text because I don't want to have to answer them. She said this on the Drew Barrymore show. If somebody calls me, I'll answer it if I want to talk to them, or I'll call them back when I can. Otherwise, I've got too much to think about to clutter up my mind with everything else. I'm not a stupid person, Dolly says. I could learn if I wanted to, but I'd rather just have my fax machine and call in my creative stuff to my crew.
You know what? It's Dolly Parton, of course.
Dolly's going to live how Dolly wants
to live. Dolly's going to Dolly.
Yeah, Dolly's going to Dolly. But this is the icing on the cake. Miley Cyrus is her goddaughter.
Aww.
And she said, every time I try to coordinate and communicate with Dolly, it is always through fax. My godmother is rarely on the phone. When we do use the phone occasionally, but she does a fax. And then someone on her staff scans the fax and they put it into a text message. And then they send that text message to me. And she all and Dolly always signs it.
I was gonna
like she's not gonna know who it's coming from.
I just think the idea of Dolly Parton becoming your friend. There's a knock on the door from Amazon. Here's your fax machine. You're Dolly's friend. She provides all of her acquaintances with one. That is,
isn't that
God,
funny?
That's so sweet and awesome. I love her so much.
I do too.
I'm gonna be very, very sad when the day comes. But we're not gonna talk about that right now. We're gonna talk about the fact that Dolly's still performing. Releasing records, being amazing. I thought she wouldn't want to text because she has a very, very lowbrow sense of humor sometimes. Like,
she can be naughty.
She can be a naughty lady. And, you know, sometimes naughty jokes don't transfer well on text. Not to mention, you run the risk of someone just screenshotting your text messages and being like, I talked to Dolly Parton about this. And people being like, Dolly Parton's the devil.
Yeah, no, so, that's true. So maybe it's just a little self-protection mode.
You know what? From now on, that's it. I quit this show. I quit everything. I'm just going to get a fax machine, and that's how I'm going to communicate with everyone.
Good luck.
I'm going to release podcasts, and I'll call them books.
You troublemaker. You.
Yeah, I am.
You troublemaker. One more text I want to share you. This is going back to the do you pajama or not, and this is from Kristen. I have started pajama-ing since Frankie got here. I get the super soft button-up ones from Target, so I have easy access to breastfeed. Also, hashtag robes for life.
I wear the same ones because I want my boobs to breathe as well.
I think
I'm going to get you a comfy robe. I think once you get into a robe that especially one that keeps you warm, mine keeps me warm, you're going to be on top. You're going to be on the robe life. I guarantee it.
Robe life.
Robe life.
That could be a television series.
Robe life. She's staying warm and cold days. She's staying hot in the summer days. She is wearing Jane in the robe life.
We'll see if I get there.
Okay.
We'll see if I get there.
I guess.
Thank you so much to everyone who joined us today. If you ever want to call or check in, 844-967-2789. You can also shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Coming up tomorrow, Carol Kane is going to be here. She will be here tomorrow and on Friday. Also, I believe it's Paul Noonan. Either Paul Noonan or J.R. Radcliffe going to be joining us about 11:33 tomorrow so we can talk a little bit about sports.
I love sports.
There was a really interesting article that I just read about how the Jets are trapped now with Aaron Rodgers that I thought was hilarious.
I mean, all things aside, if he heals correctly, he still probably has another couple of years in him. I mean, they're going to milk Aaron Rodgers' celebrity all they can worth. I mean, I don't think they're stuck with him.
You don't?
I mean, they're stuck with his mouth.
Can't do anything about that.
No, not one bit. Ugh.
Can't do any. Well, he's not our problem anymore. Which is
we
good.
Still talk about him. Like,
I know.
Yes.
Well, again, he's the old boyfriend. I can't get out of my head.
I dated him for 10 years.
He broke my heart. And then he betrayed me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, oh.
But I'm fine.
Wow.
Stay tuned. We have the news at noon is coming your way, followed up by the Todd Allbaugh Show. And then Matt Flynn direct from 2 to 4 o'clock. And from 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Network, you will have the Devil's Devil's Advocates radio program. It's only Wednesday. Good heavens, what's going to happen tomorrow? Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the sunshine. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast.
Breaking breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Disastrous congressional testimony, plagiarism accusations, and pressure from donors have combined to force Harvard University President Claudine Gay to resign. More from CBS's Nicole Killian.
Gay's resignation comes nearly a month after she and the presidents of UPenn and MIT faced widespread